Today's daf is Shavuos daf Chav Zayin. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Avishai Ellen and Elishev Numelis Chusar for Shlema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frumit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya. Today's daf is going to be all about the issue of being Nishba Lekayim or Levata Lesamitzvah. That's what the Mishnah on the top is going to discuss, the issue of taking a Shavua with regard to mitzvahs, whether it be to fulfill a mitzvah or to be Mevata Lemitzvah. The Gemara seems to work with the assumption that when the Pasuk says Lahara or Lehetiv, it's about Dvar HaRishus. And the question just is that enough to darshan to exclude mitzvahs from the Parsha of Shavua? But the assumption we seem to work with that Hara'ah and Hatava are matters of Rishus. So the Gemara is going to spend some time trying to figure out where that assumption came from, that Hara'ah and Hatava are matters of Rishus. Then the Mishnah is going to continue to discuss the next Mishnah on Ambez, issues relating to Shavuos Bitoy. A person takes multiple Shavuos on the same thing. Is he Chayiv multiple times for Shavuos Bitoy and the like? The Gemara is going to discuss different lashonos of Shavua that the Mishnah discusses, meaning there are different languages that are used in the Mishnah to describe how a person accepts upon himself the Shavua. So the Gemara is going to discuss that as well. So let's begin the Mishnah on the top of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and again we're working off of the Psukim still in Vayikra Perikei O Nefesh Kisi Shava Levatei Bisvasayim Lahara O Lehetiv. And the Pasuk tells us that when he is Asham LaAchas Me'ela and he's Hevias Asham LaHashem, so it discusses the carbon for Shavuos Bitoy, that when someone takes a Shavua to do something or not to do something, Hatava or Hara'a, and he violates the Shavua. So says Gemara, what if Nishba, the Mishnah rather, Nishba Levatel Es HaMitzvah? What if a person is that takes a Shavua to be Mevatel HaMitzvah? Whether it's a Mitzvah Saseh that he says he's not going to eat Matzah on the night of Pesach, or whether it's Mitzvah Lo Saseh, he says he's going to eat Chametz on the night of Pesach, and then Bishogeh, he violates the Shavua, Velo Bitel, and he was not mevatel the mitzvah, he ended up keeping the mitzvah, potter. He's not going to be chayiv a korban shavuos bitoy. However, he is going to be chayiv for shavuos shav, because that we're going to see later on in the Mishnah. The Rashi is going to explain in Daf Chavtes that a shavuot to mevatel a mitzvah is very similar to a shavua to do the impossible, and a shavua to do the impossible or to say the impossible is a shavuos shav, because just like turning a stone into gold is physically impossible, not doing a mitzvah is spiritually impossible. A person has no right to not do a mitzvah or to violate an avera. L'kayim v'lo kiyem. If a person took a shvuah to be mekayim a mitzvah, to dafke eat matzah on Lal Pesach, or not to eat chametz on Pesach, and then b'shogeg he was not mekayim the mitzvah, pater, he's not chayiv for, he's pater from carbon shvuah's bitoy, because he's already mushma v'mer Sinai to be mekayim the mitzvah. So that shvuah is not going to be chal on an already existing shavua. Nevertheless, the Gemara, the Rishonim point out that even though the shavua is not going to be chal, nevertheless he's not going to get malchus for a shavua shav, because there is some element of mitzvah to take a shavua to be mezaris oneself in kiyum mitzvah when he's choshesh. He's not going to be mesatzel. He's not going to be mekayim the mitzvah. So there's something about getting yourself going in order to try to get yourself to do the mitzvah. The pasuk says nishbati v'akayim lishmar mishpatei tzidkecha. So our Mishnah tells us the din of a chiyuv karban when you did a shogeg and you violated the shvua to be mekayim a mitzvah. So Tos writes that if b'mezid he violates the shvua not to violate a lo saseh, he doesn't get malchus because ein iser chal al iser. And that's what a rov rishonim say. But in a case where he b'mezid violated a shvua to be mekayim a mitzvah saseh, there's a machlokas rishonim whether he gets malchus. Tosus maseches nedarim adav ches, and the Ramban and adav chavtes over here says that just like there's no chiyuv karban b'shogeg, like our Mishnah says, so too you're not going to get malchus if you do b'mezid. However, the Balamaor and the Ran say that if a person is nishba l'kayim a mitzvah saseh and b'mezid he violates that shavua and he's not mekayim the mitzvah saseh, he's going to get malchus, because our Mishnah only excluded someone who's mekayim a mitzvah from the pasuk of lahara l'heitiv. So that pasuk is talking about the chiyuv karban, but it's not talking about the chiyuv malchus. So there's still going to be a chiyuv malchus for violation of that Shvua. So now the Mishnah is going to explain why it is that we need to be told the case of someone who's Nishba Lekayimus Mitzvah Sasei, and he's Shogeg, and he doesn't, and he violates the Shvua, why it is that we need to be told that he's Potter from a Karban. Shaya Badin, because I might have thought Shaya Chayiv, that the guy should be Chayiv a Karban. Why? Kediv Rabbi Yehuda Meseira, like Rabbi Yehuda Meseira, who holds that someone who's Nishba Lekayim a Mitzvah, the Shvua is going to be Chal, even though he's Mushba V'yomin Me'ar Sinai. And therefore he should be Chayiv a Karban when he violates B'Shogeg. Why? Because Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meseira, Ma Imar Rishul Shein a Mushba Alav Me'ar Sinai. Harei Chayiv Alav, if when it comes to Dvar Rishul, which you have no requirements from Me'ar Sinai. Nevertheless, if you take a Shvua on such a thing, and you didn't do it, you're Chayiv Mitzvah, Shu Mushba Alav Me'ar Sinai. When you're dealing with a Mitzvah, where you already have a responsibility from Me'ar Sinai to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, Eino Din Shei Chayiv Alav. All the more so, Kal V'chomer, that if you take a Shvua to be Mekayim a Mitzvah, that you're already Mushba Me'ar Sinai, and you're not Mekayim it, they should be Chayiv a Karban if you violate that Shvua, because it's an even more serious matter. And therefore, I would think that it's even more of a reason to say that one should be Chayiv. L'chora, you see from here, some of the Acharim point out that even though there is a rule in Shas of Ein Onshin Min Adin, that based on the Kal V'chomer, you cannot give Malkus or Misa or anything else based on the Kal V'chomer, a Karban, you can be Chayiv based on the Kal V'chomer, because the Gemara is saying that the Hava Amina, that you'd be Chayiv on a Shavua when it comes to a Mitzvah, is that it's a Kal V'chomer, that you Chayiv on a Shavua for a Dvar Rishus, you Chayiv a Karban for a Shavua that's Dvar Rishus, Kal V'chomer, you'd be Chayiv for a Karban on a Shavua that relates to a Dvar Mitzvah. So apparently you can be, we do say Onshin Min Adin when it comes to a Karban, which begs the question, why? Why would that be an exception to the rule of Ein Onshin Min Adin? So you have to go through, what exactly are the reasons that Ein Onshin Min Adin? So if you say that the reason of Ein Onshin Min Adin, that you can't punish someone based on the Kal V'chomer, is just in case our Kal V'chomer is flawed, maybe we think we have such a logical Kal V'chomer, but maybe there's a flaw in the Kal V'chomer, maybe there's some sort of pircha in the Kal V'chomer, there's some way to disprove the logical veracity of the Kal V'chomer, and then we will have turned out to have assaulted the guy, to have given him Malkus when he didn't deserve it, and that's an Aveira. So you can say, by a Karban, is there any risk in bringing a Karban? Yeah, absolutely there's risk in bringing a Karban. It's Chulun La'azara. So the Chara, that should apply the same. And that Svar of Ein Onshin Min Adin should apply to a Karban the same way it applies to other Onshim. What about the possibility that Ein Onshin Min Adin, Rav Yosef Engel collects all the possibilities. He has like 11 of them, but there are a few major ones. What about the possibility that Ein Onshin Min Adin, the reason he can't punish based on a Kal V'chomer is maybe we have to realize the purpose of punishment in Judaism is not stam because we like to beat people up. It's not stam because we think that people deserve it. Let them suffer a little bit. No, the point is to give them a kapara. We're really, really doing them the biggest favor in the world when we give them malchus, because that will be their kapara. So now they'll have a clean slate, that there's a kapara element. So Ein Onshin Min Adin is, you're not going to, if malchus, let's say, was a good enough kapara for the lesser avera, so you have a Kal V'chomer that says, oh, so a bigger avera should for sure get malchus. No, maybe malchus is not going to be a good enough kapara for him. Maybe he needs something more serious than that kapara. And if that's the case, that he needs a more serious kapara, and malchus isn't going to do anything for him, then you're stam assaulting a guy. You're not allowed to do that. So l'chora, that should definitely apply by a karban. That svara should definitely apply by a karban, because by a karban, if you say malchus is mishum kapara, and misa is mishum kapara, and everything, so of course karban is mishum kapara. So maybe this karban is not enough of a kapara for something that's a more serious thing, for something that's a more serious violation. So even though it does seem pretty muchach in our Mishnah that we don't apply the rule of Ein Onshin Min Adin when it comes to a karban, at least when it comes to a karban shvua, but when it sounds like when it comes to karbanos in general, we would really need to figure out what exactly the svara is for such a thing that we don't apply Ein Onshin Min Adin. It doesn't seem at first glance to really work with all the normal svaras to work as an exception to all the normal svaras of Ein Onshin Min Adin. It seems to fit perfectly into all the normal svaras of Ein Onshin Min Adin. So now the Mishnah is going to explain what the svara is of the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So Amru Lo, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Lo, you can't learn this Kal V'chomer. Why? You're chayiv carbon on a shvua that's about a dvar rishus, because just like you could take a shvua to do the dvar rishus, you could also take a shvua not to do the dvar rishus, and that's a fulfillment of what the Torah says, that a shvua's bitui is lahara o lahetiv. So that teaches us shvua could be chal only if the shvua lahara and the shvua lahetiv are both possible. So that's why you have a chayiv shvua's bitui. Tomer b'shvua's mitzvah, can you say the same thing when it comes to Shvus Mitzvah, Shalo Asabalav Kain, where you can't have both La Ra and La Hetiv in equal measure, Shem Nishma Levatel Velo Bitel Potter. Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if you take a shvua to be mevatel mitzvah, and then you ended up not being mevatel mitzvah, you're going to be potter from a karban. So since you can't take a shvua to be mevatel mitzvah, memeli, you can't take a shvua to be mekayim mitzvah. It's not going to be included in shvua's bitui. So even though when the rabbanon rejected, they don't reject the possibility of using a kal v'chomer to be mekayim a karban. What they reject is the application based on the formulation that the Torah uses to describe Shvuah's bitui of la ra lehetiv. So meila shvuah and dvar mitzvah doesn't fit. It doesn't fit into the words of the pasuk. Okay, so the Mishnah said that shvuah's bitui is only by things that are bilav vehein. So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that explains that explains the pasuk la ra lehetiv based on this idea. So Tan Rabbanan, the brisa teaches as follows: Yachol nishpa levatel sa mitzvah. You might think that someone who takes a shvuah to not eat matzah on Pesach or dafka to eat chametz on Pesach, v'lo bitel, and it turns out that he couldn't bring himself to do the avera. He ate his matzah. He didn't eat his chametz. Yechayiv. You might think he should be chayiv a carbon because he violated a shvua. And the hara in the pasuk is to be mevatel as a mitzvah and to be meira lenafsho, to do something bad for his neshama. Right? That was the shvua that you're going to be chayiv for. When a guy takes a shvua to do something terrible for his neshama, maybe that's what lahara means. And then he violates that shvua and doesn't do something terrible for his neshama. He doesn't eat chametz on Pesach. Tamalomer, that's why the pasuk says lahara ulahetiv, that the pasuk equates hara'a and hatava to teach the following: ma hatava rishus, just like hatava is something that when you do it, it's a rishus. Af hara'a, so too the hara'a that the pasuk is talking about is rishus. It's something that is rishus, meaning it's something that's not about your spiritual well-being. It's about your physical well-being. So there are good things for your body, bad things for your body. That's what's included in shvua. Eating, generally good for your body. Not eating, generally bad for your body. That's a shvua's bitui. Otsi nishba levatel sa mitzvah v'lo bitel shu pater. But when you're dealing with what's good for your soul, so that's going to be pater. That's, you don't have rishus to be mevatel mitzvah, and memel it's not included in the entire parsha of shvua's bitui. So the brisa continues. Yachol nishba lekayim es mitzvah lekiyim sheichayiv. You might think that if a guy takes a shvua to be mekayim a mitzvah, to be mezaris himself, that he's going to do the mitzvah, and then he's not mekayim the mitzvah, you might think that he's chayiv because lahetiv might mean to do something good for your soul. Tavolomer la'ra lahetiv ma'ra rishus avatav rishus. So now we say it in the reverse. Just like hara'a is not about a dvar mitzvah, it's about doing something bad for your body, not bad for your soul, so too atav is a rishus. Atav is about doing something good for your body, not good for your soul. Oti nishpa l'kayim is a mitzvah v'lokiyim shu pater. And that's how I learned that someone who's nishpa l'kayim is a mitzvah, he's not mekayim the mitzvah, that he's going to be pater. So the Brice explains, Yachol nishpa lahara li'atzmo v'lo heira. You might think that if someone takes a shvua to do something bad to himself, like to wound himself, and he doesn't do it, Yachol yehe pater, you might think that he's pater. Tamalomer la'ra lehetiv ma tav rishus afara rishus. Just like hatava is to do something good physically, hara'a is to do something bad physically, and that's what the Torah talks about as a classic example of shvuas bitui. So avi nishpa la'ra la'atzmo v'lohera shar rishus piyado. So if you take a shvua to beat yourself up, so that's a rishus piyado. You have the right to do that. You have no iser in doing that. So meila, it would be a binding shvua. Now that's an interesting comment that you. Tosos of your points out in Dibra Maskel Avi Nishpa La Ral Atzmo Kuli Hachbav Lo Tzricha Lashmin and Dadam Rashi Lachvel Be Atzmo Deplukti Bachovel. Tos says that the whole point of this brisa, the whole chiddush of this brisa, is not to tell me that Nishpa La Ral Atzmo is chayiv. That's a davar pashut. Of course, Nishpa La Ral Atzmo is chayiv. That's La Ral Leitiv. No, it's to tell me that it's not a matter of halacha if you decide to beat yourself up. If you decide to wound yourself, there's no problem. Wound wounding someone else, beferish in the Torah, absolutely a violation of a nisa d'oraisa to assault another person. To assault yourself, though, that's not a violation of anything, says Tosos, and the says this brisa, and the reason this brisa has to teach it to me, says Tosos, is because it's a machlokas in the sugyan babakama daf tzadi aleph, where the sheet of Rabbi Lazar HaKapar over there is that it's usher for a person to be chovel ba'atzmo. The Ran, however, says that even Rabbi Lazar HaKapar would say that the shvuas chal on this iser, meaning, yes, there is an iser to be chovel ba'atzmo, but it's not mefurish b'kra, it's not directly against any pasuk in the Torah, it's a broader iser. You know, there are lots of isurim that are, there are different levels of isurim. You know, there's mefurish b'kra, there's what's derived from the Yirgum Mishat Torah Drash Ben, that the iser to, the Ran equates, the iser to be chovel ba'atzmo is similar to, like the Gemara discusses, whether it's an avera to fast when unnecessarily, when it's not a fast day. Stam, you want to do tshuva, you want to be a kadosh, a tor, a par, is that an avera? So the Gemara says, well, we learn from Nazir. By Nazir, a person is mazir atzma min ayayin, and we call him a chote. Why? Because he deprived himself of a certain pleasure, of a certain anah. So someone who deprives himself of all the anahs for all day, so for sure is a chote. The other day in the Gemara said, no, he's nikra kadosh, that Nazir is also called the kadosh, that if a person is and if a person is only yazir atzma min ayayin, he's called the kadosh. Someone who's porish from all of the physical pleasures is all the more so called the kadosh. What's interesting is that it's not necessarily machlokas. It could be that he's a kadosh and a chote, that there are elements of both. That people are complex, you know, and activities are complex sometimes. Sometimes, yeah, v'or v'choshech m'shtam shem birbruvya, you know, that a person does something, and that there is a very positive element to that very act, but there's also a negative element to that very act, and you have to figure out what outweighs what. But on the pashtus, in the pashtus of the Gemara, it's machlokas, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing to be a nazir, a good thing or a bad thing to take a tiny. Says the Ran, so a person takes a neder that he's not going to drink wine. So you're going to say it's a neder to do an avera, according to the Shita, that someone shouldn't deprive himself of pleasures. No, that's not the kind of avera. It's not like you're eating chazer. It's a different kind of avera. Meaning, so over here also, chavala ba'atzmo is not like being chaval ba'acherim. It's not like stealing. It's not like killing. It's not like eating chazer. It's not a classic iser. So a shvua could still be chal on such an avera. Yachal nishbala rala acherim. You might think that if a person takes a shvua to do something bad to somebody else, to assault another person, velo heran, he doesn't keep his shvua, he doesn't bother anybody, sheye chayiv, you might think he's going to be chayiv for violation of the shvua, tamal omar, la ra lehetiv, ma atav rishos, af ra rishos. So just like atav is a rishos, ha ra is also rishos, otzi nishma la ra lachem, velo hera, sheye rishos biyado, you have absolutely no right to assault other people, so that's not rishos biyado, and therefore shvua is not going to be chal on it. Minayin l'rabos hatavas acherim. How do I know that a shvuas bitoy applies when I promise to do something good for somebody else? I take a shvua to give a matana to somebody else. Again, assuming that it's not an ani that I'm giving tzedakah to, because that would be a mitzvah, that would be a dvar mitzvah. But a matana to an ashir, something like that. And then I violate the shvua. How do I know I'm going to be chayiv? Even though l'chor it's not lahara lehetiv, because I'm not allowed to be meira l'acherim. So the parallel is not going to work. So why would it be a binding shvua when I take a shvua lehetiv lacherim? Tamalomar o lehetiv. It's the extra word o in the pasuk. It could have said lahara'u lehetiv, but it said o lehetiv. So that tells me that lehetiv could be independent of lahara. That if you do something good for somebody else, even though doing something bad for somebody else would not be subject to shvua, doing something good for somebody else would be. Vezui haras acherim akas poni v'avtas mocho. By the way, we keep talking in vague terms about being meira lacherim. What's an example of being meir l'acherim? So the Gemara says, yeah, exactly what you think it means. It means to crush somebody's skull in, you know, to beat somebody up. That's lahara l'acherim. That's what we're talking about over here when we say lahara l'acherim. Now, the we assumed as a davar pashta that lahara l'hetiv is a dvar rishos. That's how we kept learning that a dvar mitzvah doesn't apply. Oh, just like this is rishos, so to l'hetiv is rishos. Just like l'hetiv is rishos, so to lahara is rishos. Who says it's rishos? We might decry b'dvar rishos k'sivi. How do I know that the pesukim are dafka talking about a dvar rishos? Dilmud b'dvar mitzvah k'sivi. The way Tosfos understands this question is we're not asking that maybe it's talking exclusively about a dvar mitzvah. There's never a hava mina like that. What we're asking is maybe it's talking about also a dvar mitzvah. Both the Dvar Rishos and the Dvar Mitzvah that La'ara Lehetiv would apply, meaning that the Shvuas Bitoy would apply. That La'ara means that you take a Shvua not to eat matzah on Lal Pesach, which is Hara'a Gemura, because it's bad for your guf add bad for your neshama. And lehetiv is you take a shvua to eat matzah on Lel Pesach, which is absolute atav. It's good for your body. It's good for your soul. Maybe that's la'ral lehetiv on both levels. Hara and atav is both reshus level and mitzvah level. So says Mar lo salchadaitach. You can't think that we're talking about dvar mitzvah as well. To be inan hatava dum yadara, because the atava has to be similar to the hara. Hara dum yadara, and the hara has to be similar to the hatava. And because we need to make that hakish in both directions, it can't be that it's talking about a dvar mitzvah. It's got to be dvar shus. Why? How does that logically preclude the possibility of a dvar mitzvah? So the Gemara explains what would follow if you had this hakish of hara la'atava and we were talking about a dvar mitzvah. Da akish hara la'atava. I could make a hakish between hara and atava, and as follows: ma hatava eina bebitul mitzvah, just like hatava for yourself. You take a shvua that you're going to eat something. It's not bebitul mitzvah. If you take a shvua to do something good for yourself, al yidei navera, like eating on Yom Kippur or eating chametz on Pesach, so that's good for your body, bad for your soul. That's not a hatava. That's a ra'ah, because you're doing something bad for your soul. So certainly the hatava is nishba lekayim mitzvah, to eat matzah on Lel Pesach, which is an absolute hatava. It's hatava for your body and for your soul. So af hara'ah ain't a bebitul mitzvah. So too lahara must mean not when you take a shvua to not eat matzah on Lel Pesach, but bikiyum mitzvah, you take a shvua to eat chametz on Pesach. So that can't be either, because hara'a gufa hatavihi. The hara'a that you're doing for your body by not eating is hatava l'nafsho. You're being mekayim a mitzvah of not eating chametz. And the hatava that it says in the pasuk, since the hatava that the pasuk already spoke about, the pasuk already spoke about a case of hatava, why would the pasuk tell a case of hara'a? So it must be that the hara'a is not about a mitzvah. Hara'a is about a dvar reshus. So since we link hara and hatava to each other, the hatava also has to be about a dvar reshus. So through the hekesh between hara and hatava, the hatava shows us that the pasuk is not talking about bittul mitzvah. Hara'a shows us that the pasuk is not talking about kiyum a mitzvah. So if it's not talking about bittul mitzvah and it's not talking about kiyum mitzvah, there's only one option left. It's talking about a dvar reshus. So the Gemara says, well, you could make the hakish in the opposite direction to show that the pasuk is only talking about dvar reshus and not dvar mitzvah. Va'akish hatava la'ra'ah. You can compare hatava to ra'ah. Ma ha'ra'ah, just like you take a shvua not to eat something. Ain't a b'kiyum mitzvah. It can't be about a kiyum mitzvah, like you take a shvua not to eat chametz on Pesach. That's not hara'ah, that's hatava, because you're doing something good for your soul by being mekayim the mitzvah. The hara'ah is in bittul mitzvah, like you take a shvua not to eat matzah on Lel Pesach. So af hatava, so too, when you say you take a shvua to eat, it's ain't a b'kiyum mitzvah. It can't be about a kiyum mitzvah, because if the hara'ah could not have been about a kiyum mitzvah, that hatava could not either have been about a kiyum mitzvah. Hatava gufa haraihi, the hatava itself, to be mative with your guf when you eat, would be a hara'a if it's meira l'nafsho, if it's about being mevatel a mitzvah. But we already have hara'a in the pasuk, so again, that same limud. So it must be that it's about dvar arshus. So asking Mar Ihachi, if b'dvar shus nami lo mishkachasla, if you're really going to make that hekish, then you can't even have by dvar shus, you can't even say the pasuk is talking about dvar shus, because if you're going to compare harava atava, you're going to say that just like the atava is to do something good for your body, so you're nishba to eat something that's good for your body, so that's hatava, because if you're nishba to eat something that's bad for your body, then that's not hatava at all, that's ra'a. So to hara'a is to do something good for your body, and you nishba not to eat something that's bad for your body. So the hara'a itself is a hatava. The hatava, but hatava already says in the pasuk, and in the opposite direction. If you're going to compare hatava to hara, hara would mean to do something bad for your body, and you take a shavua not to eat something that's good for you. So that your shavua is a hara of doing something bad for your body. Because if you took a shavua not to eat something that's bad for the body, then it wouldn't fit the category of hara. That's actually hatava. I take a shavua not to eat fatty foods. That's hatava. So hatava is is meira legufa. You take a shvua to eat something that's ra for your guf, meaning if you compare it to hara. So the hatava itself becomes the hara. The hara itself is already mentioned in the pasuk. So if we really compare hatava to hara and hara to hatava, there's nothing that the pasuk could be talking about. They can't be talking about a dvar mitzvah. It can't be talking about a dvar arashus. So this whole hekish can't be the source to tell me that la ra lehetiv relates to a dvar arashus, because if you carry it through, it's just that there's nothing left for the pasuk to be talking about. Ella, so we say, you know what, you're right, the hekish is wrong. We need a different makar, a different source. How do I know the pasuk is talking about a dvar arashus? So says Gemara, here's the source that we're talking about a dvar arashus. Elmi de itzrich o l'rabos hatavas acherim. From the fact that I need the word o in the pasuk, that includes to do good for other people, that the shvu is going to be chal, when you, like we said before, to do good for other people, shema minad v'dvar arashus k'sivi. It must be that we're talking about a dvar arashus. The isal k'daitach b'dvar mitzvah k'sivi, because if you're going to say that we're talking about someone's being nishva levata l'mitzvah, that a shvu is going to be chal, hasha aras acherim misrabi, hatavas acherim mibayi, meaning if a dvar mitzvah is included, which means that you take a shvu to beat somebody up, so if that's going to be marbe, if that's going to be included, then you need to tell me that I'm allowed to take a shvua to do good to somebody else. Meaning I need a riboy in the pasuk that I can take a shvua to be meitiv. La'acherim, the Torah wouldn't have to be mechayiv that, because the shvua is bitoy, it would be pashut that the shvua is chal. Why do I need the o in the pasuk? So you see from the pasuk that it's dafka bedvar shus and it's not bedvar mitzvah. Okay, so it's all from the riboy of the word o. V'hai o mi bayilei lechalek. Says Gemara, no, but the word o in the pasuk is already needed to teach me something else. To teach me that you chayv separately for hara'a alone and for hatava alone. Let's say the Torah would have just said, lahara'u lehetiv. So I would have thought, you know when I'm chayv shvuos bitoy? If I take two shvuos simultaneously. One lahara, one lehetiv. That's why I need the word O. Meaning, why does the word or exist in the English language? Why does the word O exist in the Hebrew language? Because it's different than the word and. The word and would mean both. The word or means one or the other. So don't tell me the word O comes to be marba, being mative la'acherim. The word O is needed just for teaching the words. That if I didn't have the word O, I would think that you would need to do both. So it says Marno, l'chalik l'tzarkra. You don't need a special pasuk to be mechalik between them and to tell me that you don't need to do two shavuos at once in order to be chayiv. Because if the requirement really was to take two shavuos simultaneously, then the pasuk would have said la'ra'u lehetiv yachtav. The word yachtav would have implied that would have said explicitly that it's simultaneous. But without the word yachtav, we assume that it means either or, because it's a false comparison. What I just said a moment ago. Why does the word or exist in the English language? Because it's different than the word and. Yeah, but in the Hebrew language, it's not the same. Very often, a vav in the Hebrew language doesn't mean and; it actually means or. You can't tell necessarily. You have to be able to figure out from context whether the vav is an and or the vav is an or. So when it says yachtav, it's definitely an and. Yachtav means that they have to be together. But just stamavav, maybe without the word O, I would already figure out that it means one or the other. So that's why the word O is still extra. The word O teaches me that yichayev shvua, for shvuos bitoy, even when the shvuos bitoy is lehetiv la'acherim. So says Gemara, ha nicha l'Rabbi Yonasan. This teretz works very well according to Rabbi Yonasan that we're about to quote. El Rabbi Yoshia, but the Rabbi Yoshia that we're about to quote, ma'ika l'meimar. Where are we going to learn from the pasuk that it's not talking about a dvar mitzvah, it's talking about a dvar rishus? Who are Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia? What do they say that matters to us? D'tanya, we have a braisa. Pasuk says, Isha asher yikalel es aviv ve'es imo. Right, we're going to start analyzing. When it says avav, is it and or is it or when it says avav? So pasuk says, a man curses es aviv ve'es imo, so his punishment is mosi mas. Saying the ela aviv ve'imo, I would only know if he curses both his father and his mother. Aviv lo imo, imo v'lo aviv minayin. How do I know if he curses only his father, not his mother, or only his mother and not his father? So how do I know, right, very often if a child is, has problems with one of his parents, he'll dafka connect even stronger to the other parent, because there's this natural need for a parent. So he'll try to connect more to the other. So he's going to curse only his mother, or only his father, and he'll be perfectly good with the other parent. Tamilomar aviv imo kilel. That's why the pasuk says, how do I know you chayiv misa? Because it says aviv imo kilel. So the lashon of of klala, it says by imo at the beginning of the pasuk says yikalalas aviv. So the lashon of klala is samuch to aviv. So that teaches us aviv kilel, imo kilel. Since the word kilel one time in the pasuk is juxtaposed with the word aviv, and the other time in the pasuk is juxtaposed with the word imo, you see from there that klala on just aviv and klala on just imo is enough to be mechayivim. Rabbi Yonis and Omer, he says, nah, you don't need to look at where the word, the proximity of the word kilel to father and mother. No, mashma shneim keachad, or mashma echad b'vnei atzmo. Just without any riboy, the pasuk sounds like if you curse them both, you're going to be chayiv, and it sounds like if you curse one without the other, you're going to be chayiv. Unless the Torah were to tell you otherwise, unless the Torah were to tell you that you're only chayiv for cursing both of them, you have the right to assume that one or the other you're going to be yachtov, until the Torah were to tell you the word yachtov. That's only then would it mean that you have to do both. If it would have said that yachtov, then I would say that it's only if you curse both of them. So it sounds from this brisa that according to Rabbi Yoshia, the word o is not extra, and you can't be mar b'hatav asacherim from the word O. According to him, it's difficult. How does our Brisa know that La Ra Lehetiv is not talking about a Shvua on a Dvar Mitzvah? So says Marafilu Tem Rabbi Yoshia. Our Brisa we could even be going like Rabbi Yoshia, who holds that the word O is not an extra word. He would be Moda that the Pasuk La Ra O Lehetiv is not about a Dvar Mitzvah. Vesavla Rabbi Akiva Didarsh Ribuya Meyute, because he holds like Rabbi Akiva, who darshens the Pasuk La Ra Lehetiv with the methodology of Ribuy Meyut Ribuy. That the riboy is marba everything, all types of shvuas. The miyut is only mimayit one type of shvua. So says Gemara, iyamrit b'shlama b'dvar rishus k'siv. If you're going to say the pasuk is talking about dvar rishus, so mimayit dvar mitzvah. What's the one thing it's being mimayit? It's being mimayit dvar mitzvah. Someone who takes a shvua to be mevatel the mitzvah, not to eat matzah on lel pesach, to eat chametz on pesach, that you're not going to be chayv a carbon from that. So if we're being mimayit a shvua levatel the mitzvah, memelo we're mimayit from a carbon the shvua to be mekayim a mitzvah, because you needed to be belav vehein, you needed to work in both directions. Eliyamrit bedvar mitzvah ksiv mimayka mimayit. But if the pasuk itself were talking about dvar mitzvah, what would be left to be mimayit? Meaning, if you're going to darshan riboy miyut riboy, you got to be mimayit something. If there's a chiyuv carbon even on a dvar mitzvah, kal v'chomer there's a chiyuv carbon on every other shvua, so there's nothing left to be mimayit. So that's why we know, that's how we know that the pasuk is talking about dvar rishus. Now the Mishnah said, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, Ma imar rishus." He made a kal v'chomer. If a rishus which you are not mushpa me'ar Sinai, you're going to be chayiv on a mitzvah which you are mushpa la me'ar Sinai, for sure you're going to be chayiv on. So the Chacham said back, "No, by rishus asal lav kehain, by shvus mitzvah, you're not asal lav kehain. You can't if you're nishpa levatel mitzvah and you're not mevatel, you're for sure going to be pater." So says the Rabbanan Shaper Kamri, didn't Rabbanan have a good Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira? Didn't they have a good response, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that a shvus rishus is going to be chal because you have the ability to be mekayim the pasuk in either direction, la ra or lehetiv, whereas a shuas mitzvah is not going to be chal because you cannot be nishba levata le mitzvah, so mimele you can't be nishba to be mekayim a mitzvah either. So how is Rabbi Yehuda Maseira going to respond to the critique of the Rabbanan? Rabbi Yehuda Maseira amalach atu atavas acherim lav alfa gav de lesa b'chal haras acherim. Well, wait a second, we just got through saying when you take a shvua to do good to somebody else, that's a binding shvua, even though you are not permitted to take a shvua to do bad to somebody else. You take a shvua to assault somebody else, that's not a binding shvua, so that's not included in La Ra Lehetiv V'Rabbi Rachmana. But nevertheless, we have the word O to teach us that it's included, that the shvua Lehetiv L'Acherim is still a binding shvua. So Achinami B'Kiyum Mitzvah Avogad L'Leise B'Bitul Mitzvah Rabbi Rachmana. So maybe you can say the word O teaches us that if you take a shvua to be Mekayim a mitzvah, even though you cannot take a shvua to be mevata la mitzvah, nevertheless, that's what the word O does for us. V'rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan going to answer back to Rabbi Maseira? They're obviously going to have to distinguish between hatava l'acherim versus a dvar mitzvah. So they'll say, no, hasam, when it comes to hatava l'acherim, you're right, you can't take a shvua to be meira l'acherim, isay below etiv. But you can take a shvua to not be meitiv la'acherim. Meaning, what's the opposite of doing good? Not necessarily doing bad. The opposite of doing good is not doing good. So let's say I take a shvua that I'm not going to give a present to my neighbor, the usher, today. Okay, most days I don't give a present to my neighbor, the Ashir, that's okay. But when you apply that to a Dvar Mitzvah, I'm not going to put on tefillin today, ooh, so then you're already in trouble. So that's already something. When it comes to a mitzvah, you can't take a shvua in the negative. You can't take a shvua that you're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah. Okay, so the new mission now. So the mission continues discussing halachos of shvuas bitvei. So a person has a loaf of bread in front of him, and he says the following: shvua shelo ochel kikar zu, a shvua that I'm not going to eat this kikar. Shvua shelo ochlana. Yeah, and then again, a shvua I will not eat it. Shavua shelo achlana, and then again, a shavua I will not eat it. Then, after three times promising himself, he's not va'achala. He eats it. Eino chayev ela achas. He's only going to be chayev for one shavua's bitoy because the second and third shavua's are not going to be chal on a shavua that already existed. That's how Rashi explains. Rashi and Daf Chafalov added that the second shavua is not chal because the once he had the first shavua, he's mitzuva not to eat it. So nishma l'kayim es a mitzvah v'avar al shavuaso is pater, meaning once he has a mitzvah that he's not allowed to eat it, so to take a shavua shelo achal is like taking a shavua not to eat chazer, meaning that it has already become a dvar mitzvah by taking that shavua. So Rabbi Kivega points out the reason the shavua is not chal when you take a shavua not to violate an isser which you're already mitzuva in is because the ein isser chal al isser. So it's part of the broader category. Okay, so Zui Shvuas Bitoy. All these dinim that we mentioned up until now in this perek, that was all Shvuas Bitoy, meaning the Zuhi is not just going on that last little halacha we just mentioned, not little, but that last halacha about saying it three times. Zui Shvuas Bitoy, this is like a putting a cap on the entire discussion that we've had throughout the parak about Shavuos Bitoy, Shechayavin al Zdona Makos, where if a person violates Shavuos Bitoy, B'mezid he gets Malkos, Val Shigas, a carbonal of Yored, and B'shogeg is Chayav, a carbonal of Yored, based on his wealth, Shavuos Shav, Chayavin al Zdona Makos, al Shigas, a Pater. And that's in contrast to Shavuos Shav, which is the next topic, and we're going to explain in the next Mishnah, on Daf Chavtes, where if you do it B'mezid, you Chayav Malkos, but if you do it B'shogeg, you're totally potter when it comes to a shvuas shav. Shvuas eidus, shvuas pikadon, those are different. There's an asham on a shogeg like there is on mezid, so it's a totally different category of shvua. So that's what the Mishnah is just transitioning us from one topic to the next. So the Gemara explains the reason for the different lashonos of the shvua that our Mishnah mentioned. Lovely the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah have to say shvuas lo ochel, shvuas lo ochlana, two separate lashonos of shvua? The Tana could have said shvuah shlo ochel. I mean, the point is that you took the same shvuah multiple times, and that you're only going to be chayiv once. So why does it have to change up the lashon? So I'll come ashmalan. It's telling me a chiddush. Taima da amar shlo ochel, v'hadar amar shlo ochlena. The reason that the second shvuah is not chal is because the original shvuah was that you shlo ochel. The second shvuah was shlo ochlena. That's when you're only going to be chayiv for one of the shvuas, because the second shvuah never added anything more than the first shvuah already included. Because the lashon lo ochel sounds like even a kezayis of the loaf. Lo ochlena sounds like you're not going to eat the entirety of the loaf. So it turns out that the shvuah rishona asked even just a kezayis, and therefore when you then subsequently say, and I'm not going to eat the whole thing, you're not really asking anything new. You're not even allowed to eat part of it. Of course you're not going to eat the whole thing. Aval, but the chiddush is Amar Shalo Ochlena Vahadar Amar Shalo Ochel. If you first take a shua, I'm not going to eat the whole thing, and then you take a shua, I'm not going to eat a kezayis mechayev tarti. Then you're going to be chayev twice because the second shua does have room to be chal. Kidurava, and this is aligned with Rava. Damer Rava Shua Shalo Ochel Kikarzu. You take a shua that you're not going to eat Kikarzu. Once you eat a kezayis, you're going to be chayiv. But if your lashon was different, shelo ochlena, eino chayiv at sheochel eskula. You're only going to be chayiv if you eat the entire thing. So you see that Rava holds that there's a difference in meaning between the word shelo ochel and the word shelo ochlena, and that's why our Mishnah dafka puts it in that order. Because if it were in reverse order, you eino chinami would be chayiv twice. So the Mishnah went on to say shvo shelo ochlena v'achala. You take a shvua that you're not going to eat it, but then you go ahead and you do eat it, you're only going to be chayiv once. So the Gemara says, the two original shvuos that the Tana talks about, shvua shlo ochel, shvua shlo ochlena, we already learned this, didn't we? Hasul amali, why do I need a third shvua added into the Mishnah to tell me that I'm not chayiv for subsequent shvuas once I already took the original shvua and everything's out? I mean, what's added by why not? Or just keep going. You know, tell me the guy took 1,000 shvuas, 1,000,000 shvuas. Why do we keep going over here. Hakamashman. So no, it's telling me a chiddush. Chiyuvu hudaleka, that there's only not going to be a chiyuv in terms of the shvua, because you're only going to be chayiv for one of them. But a shvua ika. But as far as the actual chalos hashvua, the second and third shvuas are actual shvuas. Timishkachas rav chachayla, that if you were to find any place that the shvua rishona didn't aser, that the second shvua has room to be chal, it would be chal and you'd be chayiv. L'mayhil, so the Gemara says, where is that ever going to apply? That a shvua, the second or third shvua, is going to still have room to be chal, and somehow it's going to apply. L'chid Rava, d'am Rava, shem nishal al rishona. What if you go to a chacham and you're shoal on your original shvua, and the chacham is matir your original shvua? So it's misbar l'mafreya that original shvua was never chal, because the chacham was totally oker the shvua l'mafreya, so that original shvua never happened. So now, also l'shniya tachteha. We don't say, oh, the second shvua was a zero. Second shvua is hovering. It's waiting to be chal as soon as there's room for the second shvua to be chal. So therefore, the kikar is going to become aser based on the second shvua as soon as the first shvua is out of the way. And if you're then shoel on the second shvua, the third shvua will be able to be chal. So lema masayele, says Gemara, will bring a raya to Rava from a Brisa, because the Brisa tells us Misha Nadar Shtei Nazirus. If a person took two periods of Nazirus on him, Umana Rishona Vifresh Ala Karban, he counted the first Nazirus and he was Mafresh Karban, Vacharkach Nishal Ala Rishona, and then he went to Uchacham and he was Mefer the original acceptance of Nazirus. So it turns out that the original Nazirus was a zero. So also Shnia Barishona, he could be Mekayim his second Nazirus with the days already served in the first Nazirus. He doesn't have to serve another 30 days, and the carbon that it was mafresh for the first Nazirus can now work for the second Nazirus. Why? Because the first Nazirus was ma'akev the second one from being chal. The second one should have been chal right away at the moment that he said it, but it couldn't because he was too busy with the first Nazirus. But once the first Nazirus is out of the way, the second one is chal right then and there. The second one is chal on that time slot. And that's exactly like Rava. A person takes two shvuas to be on a kikar. The second shvua can't be chal only because of the presence of the first shvua. Get rid of that first shvua and the second shvua is going to be chal. So isn't that a perfect comparison? Says the Gemara, no, it's a terrible comparison. Hachi hashta, that is an entirely faulty comparison. Hasam, when it comes to the two Nazirios, Nazirus mi Isa, either way, even if you're mevatel the first one, even without being mevatel the first one, there's going to be a second Nazirus. The chimani l'rishona, so when you finish counting the first kufa of Nazirus, you're going to have to count the second Nazirus, meaning the second Nazirus is obviously in existence by the case of Nazirus. So that's where we say, okay, get the first one out of the way, the second Nazirus will move over. But it exists no matter what. If you keep the first Nazirus in place, the second Nazirus is still going to apply afterwards. By Madr Mimna L'Shnia, below Sheila. So Hacha, Shvua Shnia, Mi Yisa Klal. But over here it's totally different. The second Shvua would have zero application unless you get rid of the first shvua. So that's a much greater chiddush to tell me that the second shvua has makom to be chal, even though while the first shvua is there, it has no makom to be chal. That all of a sudden the second shvua can become something that we have to contend with. That's the great chiddush of our case of the multiple shvuas. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Amar Rava. Right.